Here are the ingredients. A little Afrobeat. Some good reggae.
You should never give up, never give up. Just keep on trying. Never give up, believe in what.
Drop in some R&B.
These curves in his body. No wonder they haven't thought me. I might get wild every once in a while. All depends on the time of the night.
And a taste of soca. From Bristol to the world, you're listening to Ujima 98 FM. We are you. We are Ujima.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Miner, a singer, songwriter and performer. And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast.
The Persona Power podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health, and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online, and in everyday life.
Hi, welcome to the Persona Power podcast. I'm Mary Miner. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll be aware that I haven't been here for a few weeks because there's been so much going on. And this week, I'm kind of winging it somewhat. I find myself in a position where I'm doing the show on my own. I have tried to make a plan, but because life has been quite overwhelming recently, it's been difficult to make a plan. It's been difficult to get all my ideas together in a cohesive way and try to get a plan together for the show today. And I wasn't, all honesty, I wasn't actually going to do an episode today. And as you listen, you'll understand why. And basically, at the last minute, I've decided that I really want to do this episode. I really want to be here because in the spirit of feeling the fear and doing it anyway, as I've done before, and just wanting to share about how I get through difficulties in life, because really this is what the podcast is about. It's about meeting our challenges and finding some kind of structure in life, finding the routines that sustain us, finding our way back to our routines when we've been out of them for some time. And that can be quite challenging. So I guess I'm going to tell you a little story, which starts at, you know, a few weeks ago, well, over a month ago, probably about 6 weeks ago, let's say, when I was doing the last episode before I took the time off, and I was doing an episode with Meg, and I probably told you I was about to go off on holiday, and I was off to Tenerife for a week's break with my partner, and very much looking forward to it, very much expecting to have a lovely sunny holiday and everything being well. And so off I went. I flew, and there was it was just like a series of things that happened. So to start with, I have historically had some issues with my leg, with walking, and chronic pain, and I basically injured myself in an exercise routine the day before we were due to fly. So when we got to the airport, I was like limping through the airport and thinking, oh no, this is awful timing because we're going to get there and I'm not going to be able to go anywhere or do any excursions because I'm going to be too busy trying to recover. I have a little bit of hypermobility, so I do injure easily, but over the years I've developed a lot of strength in my body and through doing exercise, specifically things like weights, yoga, Pilates, those kind of things that have helped me to become strong, and it sustains my health. And so, you know, so there, anyway, I'm in the airport thinking, oh no, this is really, really bad timing for this flare up. And then we got on the plane, and then I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes if you're a bit congested and you're on an aeroplane, the air pressure can become really, really painful. So whilst we were on the aeroplane and getting close to landing, I started getting such severe pressure in my ear that I was actually crying out in pain because it was so bad. And it was a bit of a struggle. And as we were arriving, my partner was like, "Have you got a cold?" And I thought, yeah. And suddenly I had a cold. And so as we arrived, instead of feeling all warm and chilled and blissful, I was actually quite chilly. There was quite a cold wind. So I got there just feeling a bit miserable and a bit sorry for myself. And it wasn't as warm as I would have hoped as well. It was actually quite chilly, and we were there for a few days and it was really chilly, and sunny too. I mean, we did have a pleasant time, but obviously struggling with a cold and a sore leg, it's not what you want when you're going on holiday. And then tragically, halfway through the holiday, we got a call to say that a family member had been rushed into hospital and was in a coma. And so we basically had to take the soonest flight home. And then we spent about a week where we spent every single day at the hospital waiting to see what was going to happen. Before, sadly, the family member was declared dead. Awful situation. It was a brain hemorrhage, and he was only 39 years old. So, as you can imagine, it was a massive shock, massive trauma, and it was just such a lot to go through. And I immediately decided that I needed to be there for the family, that everything else had to become secondary. I needed to support my family members and I needed to be there, and especially for my partner, who I needed to, because I've been through grief having lost both parents, and I know how important it is to make sure that that person who's really suffering the most is eating and getting their three meals a day. So I was literally by my partner's side the whole time, trying to, bringing him cups of tea and juice and squash and making sure that he was looking after himself. And during that time, I guess everything kind of came to a massive pause, and I have been unable to be here to do the podcast. I've been unable to do the radio show. My musical activities, rehearsals kind of slowed down massively. And I had to step up to face these challenges ahead. And it was a difficult time, as you can imagine. It's been extremely difficult and traumatic. And then just being there for my partner every day was like, it was like that became my full-time job, and that was the role that I'd stepped into. It was like, okay, because sometimes when you're so frozen, like grief can be really paralyzing, and it can just be really difficult to focus on anything. Like, and from experience, feeding yourself can be one of the most challenging things. Just taking care of like the day-to-day things, like doing the washing up, doing the laundry, all those sorts of things, can be really difficult to do on your own. And so I was just there. I actually don't live with my partner. We live in separate cities. So it meant also uprooting my life to be there for him, and just being in a different place and a different environment. And then so it just came that my normal practices and my normal routines and my normal things that make me feel like me really went out of the window during this time. And every day, when you're going through something like that, you have to just take every single day as it comes. You can't, it's very difficult to plan ahead. it's very difficult to, you know, you want to make sure that you're there in those important moments. So, for example, you know, just planning to make sure that I could be there for the funeral and liaising with everybody in the family to, you know, find out what their needs are and how I could best support the situation whilst grieving myself, because I was really close to the person who died, and, you know, we'd collaborated on music together and I felt a lot of love for him as well. So it's sort of managing my own grief whilst trying to do my best to support my partner in a, you know, in a different place where I didn't have my regular things around me and I wasn't able to be in my regular routine. And when I finally did come home, because sometimes you have to come back, you can't just put life on hold forever, and I'd had to spend, I think, 3 nights it was without my partner, and those 3 days that I was alone, it was just so difficult to get moving in the morning, to, you know, just get on with the normal things that need doing in the day. And I was waking up with really low mood and just crying a lot, just really, really crying and just wondering, like, everything. So when you lose somebody, it can make everything just seem so different. So it's like everything kind of fell away, like my regular activities, my theatre group, my jazz workshop that I go to every week, my meal times, you know, I wasn't doing my exercise, I wasn't going to the gym. In fact, I went back to the gym for the first time, I think it was Sunday, and it was really nice actually to get back to some kind of semblance of normality. I work with I have a business coach, and I had a session with her the other day, and I said, oh, everything's different now. I'm just seeing my life as a completely different thing. I have this new perspective on everything, which is kind of tinged by grief, and it kind of strips away everything that isn't maybe as important and takes you down to the fundamentals of what is most important in life. And it's about being together, it's about being with the people that you love, and it's about not wasting time doing things that you don't want to do. It's about treasuring every day, and it really brings new meaning to the world in the most painful way. And so coming back was just like, whoa, I don't want to be here. I got back and started noticing everything just seemed amplified, like all the social problems. I was just noticing things like, there's so much rubbish around here, and everyone's like illegally parking all the time so they can go to the smelly burger van that is next door to where I live. And just all of these things just seemed heightened and difficult, and I just had this feeling of, I really just don't want to be here, and questioning everything, like, why am I here? Why am I in Bristol at all? Well, obviously because I love Bristol. It does always come down to what Bristol has. You know, Bristol is full of culture. Bristol is full of opportunity. Being in Bristol means that I'm able to do things like work on my podcast at Ujima Radio, and do post the cruising show at Ujima Radio. But also there's a beautiful studio space that I've just started using to rehearse with my band. I've started putting my bands together here, and there's a lot of beautiful things about Bristol that I appreciate that actually keep me here. But the longing to just not be here as well was just really, really strong. And so it's been a process of reconfiguring, of remembering who I am again in the midst of all this, and kind of you know, grief is one of those things that you learn to live with, and it takes time. It literally just takes time to come to terms with in the first place, to go through the grieving process of allowing it space, allowing it time, thinking of ways that you can face it and thinking of ways that you can go on with your life. And then just having that time to try to connect with your lost loved ones as well, and trying to, I guess, the good memories. It's focusing on the good memories and the wonderful things, because death is about realizing how much you've loved that person, and that's what grief is. Grief is a sign of the love that you shared, and those wonderful memories that you have with the person that you've loved, those memories will never ever be taken from you. So that is something to be honored and treasured and held. So I'm recording this from home today, so I live close to a busy main road, so if there's some background noise, forgive me. I haven't quite got the perfect setup at home. I'm just sitting in my home studio now, and this is the first time I've actually recorded anything for some time, and I sat down with these tangle of wires and thinking, oh goodness, I'm starting over again. There's something quite interesting about having to start over. It's a challenge, but it's also beautiful because it means you can rebuild things from scratch and rebuild things the way that you'd prefer them to be. So this whole process has forced me to look at my life and what I want from my life, and it's kind of made me take stock and go, okay, maybe it's time to move forwards in a different way. Maybe it's time, because I have been thinking for some time about starting this club for vocal artists. Maybe it's time to get that going. Maybe that is something amazing that I could be doing, and maybe. So I haven't quite finished the story. I'm kind of digressing here. I should probably take it back a little bit, because when I finally came back to Bristol a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago, I came back for specific reasons. I wanted to come back to doing the radio show. I wanted to come back to the podcast. But also I had a gig booked, which I really wanted to do. I did think about cancelling it because everything was like really overwhelming. So it ended up that the funeral was going to be the day after the gig. So that was a challenge in itself, just thinking, oh no, like how am I gonna cope with all this, like the logistics of got to be in Bristol one day, got to be in London the next day, having to think of different outfits to wear for each event, having to try and like find it within myself to continue to talk about and promote the event when I really wasn't feeling like doing it at all, and just having to kind of find that energy inside myself. I did actually really want to do it underneath it all, but there was a lot of things holding me back and making me feel like, this is too much, this is overwhelming, how am I going to cope, how am I going to put my brave face on to do this? And then I started having to deal with this. I've talked about this before when I've done events in the past, and I get this real stomach lurching anxiety like bubbling up. It's like a really physical, painful sensation inside me of feeling like, I don't want to do this. It's too overwhelming. It's too much. I can't cope. My body doesn't want to cope with this. I don't want to have to face this. And then having to somehow find my way through that. And it was almost more important to get the correct outfit for the funeral, which was happening the next day. I almost felt like I couldn't come up with an outfit for the event until I'd figured out what I was going to wear for the funeral, because the challenge was they wanted it to be colourful and smart. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, all my smart things are not colourful and all my colourful things are not smart. So that was the conundrum that I had to figure out first. And then once I was able to know what I was doing for that, then I was able to then focus on the event and what I was going to do for the event. And I knew deep down that in the end the event was going to be extremely enjoyable, and I knew that I was looking forward to doing the event somewhere inside me, even though there was the anxiety and the fear and the difficulty and because of the pain and the trauma that we were going through was kind of making me feel like I didn't want to do it. But I knew underneath that there was a part of me that really did want to do it, and so I pursued with it. And and the event was actually lovely. It was really nice. It was it took my mind off things for a few hours, and everybody enjoyed the event. It was a I've started doing a jazz, it's called Jazz Gems. It's the second Sunday of every month at Bar 57 on North Street. And it's a really lovely little bar. If you haven't been there, definitely go check it out. They've started doing food on Sundays now as well. And yeah, it was just a lovely place and a lovely atmosphere. And it really did take my mind off things for a few hours. So it did go really well. And then my partner was with me for that as well, which I was really grateful for, because after the event, we drove straight back to London. And yeah, I think just getting through that and then having to go to the funeral the next day, and then having to hold all of that grief, not just from my connection with the guy that passed, but also like holding that pain for his parents and his wife. He's left a three-year-old daughter, and my partner's pain, and just holding it for all the family. And there was like about 400 people at the funeral as well. It was really a lot. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful service. They really you really got a sense of who he was, and yeah, it was beautiful. But yeah, very difficult, very painful, and then kind of carrying that, and that was just last week. So sort of carrying that through this week, and then thinking, oh my goodness, I have this podcast to do, because in the midst of all of this happening as well, Meg let me know that she's not going to be able to do the podcast anymore. She's just way too busy. Her business is really taking off. All power to her. So proud of her. And she just hasn't got the capacity to be involved in the podcast anymore. So that was like the next challenge. So it was like challenge on top of challenge on top of challenge, you know. And all this week I've been feeling like I know what I want to do with this podcast, and I could get somebody else to be involved in the podcast. I could get guests on every week. I could definitely do that. Or I could just really run it myself and make it connected to all of the things that I'm working on. So I'm really interested in artist development, identity, branding, social media strategies. I've studied digital marketing, and I'm also obviously really passionate about artistry and developing as an artist. Like, what kind of artist do you want to be? And then connecting that all. So, you know, and if you're a regular listener, you'll know as well, I have ADHD. So planning can be an issue for me, but planning is part of the thing that I'm trying to build into this club that I'm thinking about creating, which would be a bit of planning at the beginning of the week, like a group planning and accountability session. And then that would be at the beginning of the week. And then in the middle of the week, doing a session, which it would be like the persona pod. So it's all about what you look like as an artist, how you present your work as an artist, your colour schemes, your brand choices, your brand values, all those sorts of things, and then putting that together into a social media or not even necessarily just social media, but into a marketing strategy that can take you a little bit further, and then connecting that with your lyrics. So on a Friday, maybe, you know, perhaps towards the end of the week, I would do like a lyric lab where we focus on songwriting, connecting our ideas, using different writing techniques, playing, and then setting goals around like finishing songs and that kind of thing. So there's quite a lot that I started thinking, wow, this is really an opportunity to align the podcast with the club. And with those ideas that I've been thinking about for probably quite some time now, but I've really started intensively thinking about them recently, because after I mentioned this on the podcast a few weeks ago, I had a couple of people get back to me and say, absolutely loved what you were talking about, be really interested in the club, sign me up kind of thing. And I was like, wow, okay, so this is of interest to people, and this is something that I feel passionate about and could deliver. And so I started thinking really deeply about how do I align the podcast with the club. Now, that is quite an undertaking. And so this week I was just kind of sketching out going, oh no, this feels really overwhelming. This feels like it could be really, really aligned, but it also feels like a lot. And am I going to be able to do it? Am I going to be able to live up to this? Can I really deliver this? I don't know. And with ADHD, sometimes when you start thinking big, you have all these wonderful ideas and you get really excited and you feel really passionate about it. But then when it comes to the implementation of the ideas, it can feel really overwhelming. And I had a session with my work coach and she was kind of, well, come on, let's be realistic. Let's keep this in check. Have you got time for this, first of all? What do the numbers look like? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it feels like a lot. I don't know if I'm ready for this just yet. But at the same time, I'm really moving towards it. And I'm feeling like, why don't I set something up really low-key, donation-based, just set up 3 sessions a week over Zoom, and just invite people to come, and initially just set it up to see how people respond, see how it feels, get some feedback. So that's what I think I'm going to start doing. I'm not sure yet. There's no start date yet. But that's where I'm leaning towards at the moment, because I definitely feel that there is there's a demand for it. There's a calling for it. There are people there that want this kind of guidance, that want this kind of support and mentoring, and would actually really benefit. And hopefully it would make the world a richer place musically, because there's more of us kind of connecting and really bringing together our ideas and getting them out there into the world. So yeah, lots to think about. And then I started thinking, oh, well, the podcast this week has really got to be about that. And then just overwhelmed myself and decided that I wasn't going to do a podcast this week. I was going to repeat an episode. And then this morning I woke up and I thought, no, I think I'm actually going to do this podcast episode, because I've actually got a lot to say. It turns out that I have got quite a lot to say. And in the next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about coming back to yourself and how you can come back to yourself when you've been through massive life-changing stuff that can really derail you. Like, how do we, because we build ourselves slowly over time, how do we build back the structure into our lives? How do we face the challenges and the difficulties that we have? How do we deal with life and when it feels like that? So in the next segment, that's what I'm going to be talking about. So stay tuned to the Persona Power podcast with me, Mary Minor. And I will be back after the news. And yeah, so thanks so much for listening, by the way. If you're a regular listener, I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with me on TikTok or Instagram at miss_mary_minor, spelled M-I-N-A, or on Facebook as Mary Minor or YouTube Mary Minor Music. I'll see you after the break.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Keeping you informed. The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
As BBC News for Bristol. There are calls for students in Bristol and Bath to get up-to-date meningitis vaccinations after an outbreak in Kent killed two young people. In Canterbury, students have been queuing for emergency antibiotics to avoid getting infected. A club in the city has been identified as the probable source. John Roberts is Professor of Health Protection at the University of the West of England in Bristol.
It's a wake-up call and a reminder that these things can happen. It's really important to act quickly if you do develop the signs and symptoms of meningitis. But aside from the signs and symptoms, the best way to protect yourself from developing meningitis is to be up to date with the vaccinations that are offered.
People in Barton Hill have been marking a year since police and security were called in to help the council install a bus gate as part of the East Bristol Livable Neighbourhood Scheme. The council's in the process of making some changes before it decides if it should be made permanent. Canon Gregory Grant says many people have stopped coming to his church since the roadblocks were introduced.
For us, it's been a disaster. We used to get, this time last year, about 575, 600 people at church on Sunday. That's gone down by well over 100. As it turns out, I'm the parish priest of an adjacent parish next door to St. Joseph's, and their numbers have gone up. It's people making that choice to leave their community because it's just too exhausting.
Football, Bristol Rovers are looking to close the gap to the team above them in League Two as they take on Shrewsbury this evening. They're hoping to have Alfie Kilgore and Tommy Lee back from illness. And a new sculpture of the legendary Giants of Avon Gorge is arriving at Bristol Temple Meads today to mark the launch of a new book of regional myths, the Line to Legend Land campaign, a collaboration between GWR and the successful author Michael Moore Purgo, sees five statues touring major railway stations to revive local folklore. Proceeds from the collection will support the charity Farms for City Children, which is currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. That's the BBC News for Bristol. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
Hi, I'm Mary Minor.
And I'm Meg Cox.
And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with me, Mary Minor. And today, I have been telling you a little story about how my life got completely derailed over the last few weeks, month and a half. And now I'm going to really try to focus on how to rebuild after everything has kind of been taken away from you, because it's been a lot of loss. I lost a family member tragically, and then in the midst of it all, Meg let me know that she wasn't going to be able to do the podcast anymore. So it was quite a lot. It was quite a lot to absorb and take in all at once. And then there was, on top of that, there was like the loss of my kind of day-to-day life of, you know, having my routines that I feel like I kind of depend on my routines, that whenever life kind of gets off kilter, I always find that I need to try to get back to rebuilding and reconstructing where I was. Because in my beautiful ideal world, and it doesn't hardly ever works like this, but in my beautiful dream of my ideal universe, I wake up in the morning and I start with affirmations, and then I do gratitude as well. I definitely think it's important to practice gratitude, and it definitely helps me to maintain a positive mindset. So I try to think of 10 things that I'm grateful for, and I have a selection of affirmations that I've written for myself, and I've written them in my own words because I feel that they resonate more with me if they're in my own words. There's one or two that aren't, by the way, but most of them I've written for myself. I'll give an example. I like saying things like, I'm in excellent health and my body is fit and strong and powerful. I use those affirmations daily to help me feel better, and they actually really work. They actually really do help me to feel better. So in my beautiful universe, I start with my affirmations, and I do think of 10 things that I'm grateful for. Then I try to take at least 10 deep breaths. I do a technique called box breathing sometimes, which is where you breathe in for a few counts and then you hold for the same number of counts, and then you breathe out again the same number of counts and then hold again on the out breath. And I try to do that 10 times. Again, these things can help to regulate my nervous system, make me feel calm. One of my affirmations is, I feel blissfully calm. I love that one. It really has an effect on calming me. So that's how I start. And then I get up, make my coffee, and then I sit with my notebook right in my lyric book. First of all, I find writing lyrics in the morning is one of the best times to write lyrics, because I've just come out of a dream and I'm all kind of floaty. I'm kind of halfway between being awake and still being asleep, and so things kind of come out in a bit of a different way. Sometimes the dream themes make their way into my lyrics, and then if I'm feeling it, sometimes I will sing into my phone and just record some ideas down. That can be really helpful. And then I write in my diary, 2 to 3 pages in my diary, because that's like kind of gets everything out of the way. It kind of gets rid of all the niggly things that have been bothering me. And then I like to do a bit of face yoga, because I have a lot of jaw tension, and as a singer, getting rid of that jaw tension is really important. And it's also helped me over time to get rid of a lot of the physical pain, because I've discovered that when I stop doing my face yoga for a week or so, my physical pain increases. So I think it's really important for me to notice those things and then connect with myself. So I like to spend some time, again, this is in my ideal world, some time doing the face yoga. And then I like to have a full body workout, either Pilates, or I like to go to the gym and do weights, or sometimes yoga. So that is my morning, and then it's like singing practice whilst I do the chores, and really have a good vocal workout as well. Make sure that I'm keeping my vocals in tone, and then once I've done all of those things, those are kind of my fundamentals, really, because I feel like without those things, without that structure, life starts to unravel a little bit. So once those things are out of the way, then I feel like I can then focus on my work. Sometimes that might be mean posting on social media. Sometimes that might be mean dealing with bits of admin. Sometimes that might mean that I've got a piece of music that I need to work on and finish. Or I might be recording the radio show, maybe doing stuff to plan the podcast. That, you know, that the rest of the day is really for that sort of work, and then evenings can be for practicing, rehearsing, and you know, keeping up with my clubs and activities, and keeping up with my friends, which is also really important. We all need good friends, right? And so that's my ideal picture of my life and what my life looks like. And when massive life changes happen to derail us, sometimes our perfect plan, it just doesn't work, and it just isn't there. And I think that is when we need to kind of look at life and say, okay, things aren't quite working the way that I'd planned. So how do I get back to me? How do I get back to where I was? How do I start building back those things into my life? And I think it can feel really overwhelming, because I don't think once you've been through a lot of difficult stuff that it's always that easy to just get back to where you were before. I think especially for people who are self-employed like me, it can be really, really difficult to, like, you know, create that routine again. And I think it's people that work from home and solo business owners can probably really relate to this feeling of how do you motivate yourself? How do you get back to, you know, having that ideal day? And I think it really is about a lot of self-reflection and understanding that, you know, we're not machines and we can't just suddenly make everything start clicking back into place again after we've been through a lot. And I think it's about being gentle and kind with ourselves and supporting ourselves back into the places that we want to be, and just being like, okay, today it might just be one small thing that I do for myself. So I started trying to, because for a while I was waking up in the morning, and because of the tragedy that we'd been through, I was waking up and immediately you open your eyes and then suddenly your heart just sinks because you're suddenly aware of what's happened, because sleep can blissfully remove you from the reality, and then you wake up and think, oh no, and then that can just like derail the whole day. So there was quite a few days when I was waking up and I wasn't doing my practices in the morning at all, like I wasn't doing my affirmations or anything. And then I started thinking, no, I want to try and start doing some meditation in the mornings. And I started thinking, even if I just do 10 minutes, I'd do my 10-minute meditation, and then I would get up and think about food for my partner, and, you know, making sure that things were tidy and things were being done. It was just like I was so out of my normal reality. And so, you know, it has been quite a challenge, really. It started with a little bit of meditation, and then I decided that it was better for me to not do the meditations that I'd been doing for many, many years, because I'd fallen out of the guy that whose meditations I used to do ended up being in the Epstein files. So I was, challenged by that, and just thought to myself, actually, no, I don't want to listen to your meditations anymore. And so again, that was another loss in a way. It was like, wow. And so I started thinking, okay, I'm going to just start by doing my affirmations in the morning. And that's all I started with. And then I started noticing how good they were making me feel, and recognizing just how important those things were. And then the next thing was really the exercise, because I have got hypermobility. I've got scoliosis as well, which is like curve in the spine, which has led to me having various damaged discs in my back over time. So I've got like two herniated discs and a bulging disc in my spine, which can sometimes lead to quite debilitating pain. And then I've got an issue with my leg as well. And so all of those things combined, if I'm not keeping up with my exercise routines, then my health is difficult to manage. So the next important thing was like trying to make sure I was getting some exercise. And at that point, it probably ended up being about once or twice a week, which is not ideal. For me, the optimum is like 5-6 times a week. And so, you know, it has led to me having to go back to, you know, the osteopath and with my aches and pains, and, you know, try to incorporate more exercise to get back to the healthy being that I was before. So that was the next step, was really trying to incorporate the exercise as well. And it's been, like I said, it's been a process. I've gradually started to pick up my pen and my paper again and started writing again, and eventually started doing my face yoga again, which I'm really glad about, because it makes my skin look all glowy as well. That's like a beautiful, wonderful side effect of that. It makes me feel fresh. And I'm running out of time here because we've got to go to a little break, but I will continue talking about these themes in the next segment. So stay tuned to the Persona Power podcast on Ujima 98 FM, and I will be back very soon.
International Women Speak on Ujima 98 FM.
Amy Jakes Garvey. Be not discouraged, black women of the world, but push forward, regardless of the lack of appreciation shown you.
Ujima Radio, celebrating and elevating womanhood.
Have the grey days been getting you down? Worry not! We're bringing some colour to the streets of Bristol with our new Ashanti Empress collection. We've got dungarees, festival tracksuits, colourful cords, and more in big, bold African print that will bring some sunshine to your days. All our clothing is ethically created in Ghana. Find out more and shop the new collection at ashantiempress.com.
Yeah, this is Tanya Stevens, and you're listening to Ujima Radio. Empower, educate, entertain, inform. Ujima, we are you. We are Ujima.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM. Welcome back to the Persona Power Podcast. I'm Mary Minor, and today I have been talking about how I have managed to find my way back into my routine after a really difficult and traumatic time, and just sharing this with you because for me, doing this podcast is about authenticity and realness, and really just sharing my real life stories of how I get through the things that I have to get through, in the hope that it will inspire other people as well to find strength within yourself and, you know, develop a strong persona. And kind of my pet name for this episode is Persona Power Personified, because I feel like today I am pulling everything I have out of me to just share this story of how I got completely derailed. Because I started off this year strong. I just released a song. I felt like I was on a roll. I felt really good. I was just about to go on holiday and have a great holiday. And then everything just turned on its head and turned upside down. And here I am sharing this with you, and letting you know as well that I will be flying solo for the foreseeable on the show, because Meg, unfortunately, has had to step back. Her business is going so well, so she is focusing on that for a while, which all power to her. I'm so proud of her. Well done, Meg. And yeah, if you're listening, you're always welcome back. But for now, it is just me, and just sharing with you my processes and the things that really do help sustain me. And I was just explaining how, after being completely derailed after a tragic bereavement, I have had to find my way back into, like, who am I again? And, you know, what do I do, and how do I want to do what I do? Because one of the main things that's really fallen away for me is social media. I'd really worked quite hard to develop a social media presence through sort of my, you know, digital activities to promote my music, and I started to feel like, especially sort of as I kind of stepped away from it, because I just didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to post, I was just too busy just surviving. And something that's come out of that for me is this feeling of, wow, I really feel like I've been, like, selling my image for quite some time now, and actually feeling this kind of real sense of strength in pulling away from that and just feeling like maybe I don't want to be showing my face all the time online. Maybe it's okay if I don't, and actually maybe it's freeing me a little bit from that pressure of having to feel like I'm perfect all the time. Maybe it's okay to just share my best work and don't worry about the rest. Maybe I don't have to post every day. That's been quite freeing for me, and I feel like I'm really approaching things differently now, and I'm starting to think about how can I do this in a way that serves me better and stops me from feeling, because there's something very, it makes you a bit narcissistic after a while when you're constantly posting your image and what you're up to. It kind of makes you start to question your value as well, and I don't want that for myself anymore. I actually want to support and nurture myself in a different way, especially as I'm growing older. I don't want to feel that pressure
anymore to have to always look my best or, you know, always present myself in the best way possible. And I think maybe I just only share when I'm ready to share and when I feel like sharing and when I feel like my work has value that's worth sharing. So it's kind of given me this kind of reset in a way that's been quite beneficial. And it's made me reevaluate, well, actually, what is most important? Maybe that isn't the most important thing for me right now. Maybe it's more important to just get into the studio and just be working on my songs and just producing things to the best of my ability and stop being so distracted by what's happening online. And so that has been really beautiful as well. And then I've gradually managed to start exercising again and doing my daily practices again, doing my writing again. Just sometimes just being with pen and paper and just giving myself half an hour with a coffee and just sitting there and just writing, you know, no pressure to write. And I got this technique from a book called The Artist's Way, but no pressure to write anything good. just literally just write whatever I feel like writing, just get it off my chest. Sometimes I slip into writing in rhyme. Sometimes what I say is just completely meaningless and just I look at it afterwards and I think, oh dear, what was I even thinking? Sometimes I lose track mid-sentence and I get distracted by something else and then I go back and I think, what was I even trying to say? I don't even know. But just sitting there with pen and paper for me is very healing. I find it very, it's a good way of getting to know where I'm at. And the other thing I really enjoy doing is doing voice notes. I find that it's like a self-regulating thing that I feel like I can just get my notes app, press record on the microphone and just get things off my chest. In a way, it's prepared me for doing things like this. Like today, I was feeling like I wasn't even going to do a podcast episode because everything had just been feeling so overwhelming. And I thought, no harm in just repeating last week's episode. But here I am doing it because in the spirit of stepping into my power, I think it's sometimes important to just give things a go, feel the fear and do it anyway. I think that was from an author called Susan Jeffers, but I love that quote because life can feel difficult and it can feel scary, but honestly, it's how we grow, is pushing ourselves into the discomfort and doing things anyway. And I think it really, in order to rebuild ourselves after things have gone wrong, it really is a case of just being gentle and slow with ourselves and just saying, I don't expect perfection straight away. I don't expect this podcast to be the best podcast I've ever done. I don't expect to do the perfect workout. I don't expect to have the perfect day necessarily. It would be wonderful if every day could be perfect, if I just had that assistant to just be like, right, here's your coffee, get up, it's time to do your writing. You know, that kind of thing would be wonderful in an ideal world. But I am me, I do my best with what I have, and I think it's about being kind to ourselves, gentle with ourselves. And this is something I learned just through losing both my parents, was that I could parent myself. I can treat myself like I'm a precious being. I treat myself with kindness. I treat myself with love. I treat myself like I would treat my own child. And that's helped me to build confidence and feel strong and empowered. And it's definitely made me feel happier within myself, and it makes it easier for me to bounce back from things when things go wrong. Life can be tragically painful sometimes. It's also incredibly beautiful still, even with all the trouble, all the strife, all the wars that are happening. We still can appreciate each day and appreciate each other and love each other and think about what's important and spend time with the people that matter and tell them that we love them. There's nothing like a tragedy to make you remember those things, but at the same time, life can still be enjoyed and we don't have to suffer needlessly. We can be kind to ourselves, and There's enough suffering in the world already without us beating up on ourselves and being unkind to ourselves. So I think treating ourselves well, treating ourselves with love, treating ourselves with respect, it's just one of those building blocks that can make us grow into the people that we dream that we can be. And yeah, coming up to the end of the podcast today, which is actually flown by. I'm actually amazed at how quickly it has gone by today, especially as I was fearing it so much and really feeling like I couldn't do it. And then here I am doing it. So proud of myself. And so I hope this is it. I've inspired myself with this. So I hope that in some way this has inspired you today. If there's one thing that you've taken from this podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Miss_Mary_Minor, spelled M-I-N-A, or on Facebook as Mary Minor, or I'm also on YouTube, Mary Minor Music. So do get in touch with me and let me know. And I'll see you guys next week. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Persona Power Podcast. I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor. And you can join us on Tuesdays from 1 to 2pm on Ujima Radio 98.
Ujima Radio. Simply the best.
Are we really happy here with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say. Searching but not finding understanding anywhere. Lost in a masquerade. Both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. Try to talk it over, but the words got in the way. We're lost inside this lonely game we play. Hearts of weeping disappear every time I see your eyes. No matter how hard I try, ooh, 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 to understand the reasons that we carry on this way, we're lost in a masquerade.